I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret. We are chatting to the lovely Marlon Anderson. Hi, babe. Welcome back.
Hey.
So I wanted to dive straight into part two, balls to the wall, no messing around. I think, and me and my producer talk about this all the time, that there is a very special place in hell for women who don't support other women. Do you agree?
100%. That's the strongest thing. It's all about the feminine energy.
Oh, I love it. And like, I want my Instagram and to be a place where women come on and they leave feeling better about themselves. They leave feeling like they're not alone. They feel more positive. They embrace their bodies. Like, that's what I endeavor to do on mine. And you are such a shining, great example of that. But it can't have always been like this for you, because for anyone who doesn't know, you basically like used to do beauty pageants, didn't you?
Yeah, when I was around 16, my mum actually bribed me £500 to enter Miss Bedfordshire. she really wanted that life for me, and I did it, and then, gosh, it was like a switch in my head, and it just triggered a crazy journey with food and exercise with me, and then. It was all about appearance from then onwards, body image and appearance for a good 6 years.
Oh, but then I don't blame you, mate. Like, I can't imagine environments like that, the nurture sort of any other side of a person. Like, it is something that is where your worth is completely based on how you look in a swimsuit, basically, isn't it?
100%. Definitely. There was no substance there whatsoever.
Now, what was the vibe like? Because now you go on your Instagram, you're replying to all the comments, you're building women up, you're empowering other females, you're just being a badass woman. But then going back then, I bet you, well, women were pitted against each other in that environment, no?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Some are really nice, but then you get some catty girls that are just competing and, you know, didn't speak to anyone. If I remember clearly, it was such a long time ago now. It was just a false sense of reality. It was just everything was fake about it and just ridiculous, and I don't even know why I bloody did it.
I know. And you look back now and you see like the toxicity of it and sort of how unhappy you were. Like, I've seen pictures of you from your beauty pageant days, and mate, you look dead behind the eyes. I hope you don't mind saying that.
Yeah, no. Bless you. No, I admit it myself. I'm actually posting a photo today and a picture of me in a yellow gown. I look ill. My eyes say my whole story. And for me, it was just, my mind wasn't with it. I would be passing out, constantly feeling dizzy. I would smoke cigarettes, have loads of coffee, calorie count every single thing. And when the restriction got so much, it's almost like when we diet normally. We'll do a diet, get to the weekend, and we'll binge, we'll overeat to compensate for what we've restricted our bodies on. And our body's natural way of saying, eat normally is, now I need to eat everything back. And then we'll feel guilty, the guilt kicks in, and then you're back to square one, you're starting that diet on Monday again. And that is why I can't stress enough to try and have such a balance with food. Food isn't your enemy, it's here to nourish our minds, our body, our soul, you know? Yeah. And it's such a blessing to be able to eat food. We shouldn't look at it like it's a bad thing.
I know, but it is so difficult, especially I can imagine within that world, to have a healthy relationship with food, and to sort of to understand that looking a certain way isn't the be all and end all. It's taken me, mate, to being 32 to realise that as a woman, we have so much more to offer than just a clothes size, than just a number on a scale. Like, our bodies do amazing things. They run marathons, they run businesses. We create life, for fuck's sake. Why are we being just pigeonholed as nothing more than a body in a swimsuit? It's so demoralizing.
I know. And I think times are changing, to be fair. I don't really do pageants still exist?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't actually have a clue. I know in America they're quite, there's a lot going on, but I just think it's so sad. If I could speak to my younger self, I would just tell her to not bother at all, because even though it was part of my journey, I used to feel so depressed from not having control over, like, my self-worth. It's really sad. Like, I'd wake up and it just consumed every ounce of my soul. And as you said, the dead behind the eyes kind of thing, that was me. I was just functioning. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's now led me to have IBS permanently from laxative abuse. I'm gluten intolerant. I don't eat meat or fish anyway, because that's just a personal choice I made about a year ago.
Can I ask what you do fucking eat then?
Cheese, Vicky, I fucking love cheese.
That's me, girl.
I can't do vegan. I love cheese and red wine. So, so I eat vegetables. That's pretty much fucking it. It's just a bit of veg. But I just feel like part of my spirituality and my growth, I just eating that dead energy from meat and fish, it just really makes me feel blah and sluggish. So I just, I eat a lot, but just not meat or fish. Whereas if you told me when I was 16 to give up meat, I'd be like, oh, go on then, does it make you lose weight? So I would probably just be a vegan just to lose weight.
Yeah. Exactly, but that just shows how much your mindset has changed. Like, I think a lot, like Pete, for example, you know, me mate Pete Wicks, he's a vegan. Well, he's not, he's a vegetarian. He's almost a vegan, but again, like you, couldn't give up he couldn't give up the cheese. And I get that. Like, when you have, like, you're coming from a strong viewpoint, I think it totally makes sense. He does it because he just loves animals so much. And you're obviously doing it because it makes you feel better. And I think, like, we should never judge anybody else's choices. Like, I know I joke. I don't think I have the willpower to be a vegan or even a vegetarian at all. I just kind of think I consciously eat now, Melon. Like, I try and eat less because I just know it's better for you. Yeah.
Yeah, consciously. And think back to when we were a child. Like, there's an inner child in all of us. Did we restrict ourselves? We ate when we were hungry. We stopped to a point of being full. Yeah. Overeating, for me, I feel sluggish, and I know now I don't want to feel like that, and then I'll end up on the bloody toilet. Do you know what I mean? And undereating, I'm still hungry. So listen to your body signals, listen to your body signs. It all contributes to your mental health. When I eat better, when I eat a Mediterranean salad with olive oil, avocado, tomatoes, you know, with grains, I feel amazing. My mind's buzzing, I'm raring to go, I've got great energy. If I go and get a burger from McDonald's, I'm going to feel slumped. That energy is going to be taken really quickly from me, and I'm going to feel like crap. And, you know, it's just knowing what is right for you. And as I said, we need to be kind to yourselves, and being kind to yourselves is also looking after yourself.
Exactly. No, it is, mate, it is. And I think we're so quick. I know I'm in particular, like, I can't do enough for other people. Like, the minute lockdown happened, my initial reaction was to start my isolation care package project for the elderly. Like, I wanted to make sure there was nobody. Thanks, mate. I wanted to make sure no one was going hungry. Like, the first thing I want to do in the morning, you want to ring your mum, make sure she's okay. You want to ring your sister, make sure she's okay. You want to ring your pals, make sure they're okay. You constantly want to look after others, but it's actually learning that you can't pour from an empty cup. Like, you need to look after yourself first if any of these things are going to be possible as an afterthought, right?
1,000,000%. And you've just said that, you've just hit the nail on the head with that. And when our energy is low and when we're feeling drained, those around us aren't going to gain from us being around them. Mm-hmm. You know, all that work that we're trying to do, the work won't be 100%. Mm-hmm. So our number one, ourselves, we need to look after first. And that's first and foremost.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you, mate. A bit of self-love goes an absolute long way. Well, I'm going from self-love to friend love here. You are half Swedish and half Sri Lankan. Is that right? Did I get that right? Yeah. Half Swedish, half Sri Lankan, 100% goddess. 100%. You're absolutely lush. You're absolutely lush. Like, if I didn't love you so much.
You're throwing me the compliments today.
That's what people come on Vicky Patterson The Secret for, just to get that ego inflated. I'm such a fangirl. But no, I am. Oh, I just can't understand how anyone could have anything bad to say about you, mate. Like, I really mean that. And I look at you and I'm 110% Geordie, mate. There's nothing interesting about me at all. Like, I'm just Geordie through and through. But you are like...
So you're putting yourself down by saying that. You are interesting. You've got so much to offer. Stop with that bad talk.
But you're right, I shouldn't. But what I mean is, like, how anyone could say anything negative of you, I just don't know. But you opened up recently about the racial abuse you've endured in your life. And honestly, to me, it's mental that this is still going on. But obviously, with the Black Lives Matter movement, we seriously can't ignore the fact that it is still going on in society and in commonplace in some places. So I just wanted you to talk about your experience with it a little bit, mate, because I was so shocked.
Yeah, it was mainly when I was younger. And I grew up in a very white village. Mm-hmm. My family was the only Asian round family in the whole village. And the word Paki was getting thrown around like it was anything, you know, me, my brothers and my sisters and George so much. We'd be at the school bus stop. We'd get all sorts of names like Hitler, Paki, Bud, you know, accents. And
Jesus Christ.
I was so sad because I used to go back to my mum and be like, Mum, is there something wrong with my colour? And as a kid, you should not be hearing that, because that is trauma in itself. And as I spoke about childhood trauma the other day, it's only going to come out when you're older if it's not dealt with properly. And my sister used to get called Hitler. She used to like have to shave her tash and sideburns. She, you know, and I think that the racism stems from their parents. These kids they're not born racist. They're listening to people around them, their parents and what their family are saying. I think it's absolutely fucking disgusting. Because how are you meant to be 6 years old and you're racist? That's your parents, definitely.
Of course. It's a nature versus nurture debate, like, and people have it for loads of different things, but there's the idea that you are either born some way or your environment, the surroundings that you're brought up in, mold you into being.
Yeah, of course.
And like when it comes to something like racism and views and things like that, it has to be what you're brought up around. And I don't want to sound naive, and I do think it boils down, it is sometimes hateful and it is horrendous, but I think a lot of the time in small places like that, it's ignorance. It's just ignorance. It's someone who looks a little bit different to someone they've seen before. And that's what's the scary thing, is it's being fueled by something like ignorance.
Definitely. And I think the awareness and creating change, it's never going to stop. We need to keep that up. It's not just 1 week on social media. It's every day. And the irony is, I love my skin color. I love it. I love being brown and I love tanning. I love getting darker and darker. I fucking love it. And everybody else loves a bit of fake tan too. So where's the issue?
Honestly, mate, I love your skin. What I mean? I could lie in the sun for weeks, weeks and weeks and weeks, and still just be like slightly pinker. But you, my darling, you are beautiful pinker, inside and out. Yeah, I could just get pinker. I'm like a little piggy. But you, on the other hand, mate, nah, absolutely beautiful inside and out, and you should own that.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You mentioned mental health, mate, and it's something you're a really brilliant advocate for. Your honesty, your refreshing openness on social media, it's just a proper breath of fresh air. What have been your strategies for dealing with trauma? I'm going to talk to you about your secret in a bit, but I know I can't let this go. There'll be so many women listening to this who want to know how you coped.
I think it's really learning how to be alone, firstly. The different types of trauma, they're all different. So I could speak about this for days and give you different outlooks and points on each thing. But let me talk to you about grief. So let me talk to you about, for instance, my mum's death. So she was the closest woman in my life. She was my mum and my dad. And the cancer suddenly came on really quickly at the end. She did have cancer her whole life, and then she was clear for 15 years. And the doctors didn't realise that she had stomach cancer the whole time, where she was getting her right breast removed for breast cancer. So she was gone within 3 months. And that, for me, was like somebody ripped my heart out, because I was there right until her last breath, you know? And to see your own mum lose her head, because every day, the last week of death, is like something else gets taken from them, and then they become, they're not there, they're not with it, and she didn't know who I was at the end. And that was the biggest amount of trauma. I then went on and met a toxic man and became pregnant. And so I never dealt with my mum's grief. It was one thing after another.
Yeah.
And then when my baby died, I was like, fuck this. What the fuck? I've not dealt with anything. So I had to take it back to square one. I took it all back and I went back to basics. And I went, right, let's go to the first issue here. Let's deal with this step by step. I had therapy. Therapy was cool, on and off, didn't really resonate with me. So I thought, let me do this myself. Let me fix myself, because no one's going to fix me. I had to literally sit in a living room alone and deal with my emotion and my pain. I let myself cry when I wanted to cry. I let myself drink if I wanted to drink. But then I took active steps into my well-being, and I had to fix my environment around me, the people around me, and what was going to aid my healing process. I read a lot. I traveled every single month. I went to Bali, retreats. It sounds cliche. I really had to find myself. Because if I wasn't going to find myself, then I wasn't going to be able to live. You know, I'd be living in pain, trauma, victim mentality. So this was like key, make or break for me. And I remember just being alone and thinking, fuck, this sucks, but let me push through this pain. Instead of me running to see a friend because I feel lonely, let me sit here and be lonely. Instead of me going to alcohol and having that glass of wine to numb that bit of pain in my brain, let me sit here and read a book and feel that pain. And I say it a lot, feel that fucking pain. Don't hide from it, don't run from it. Allow yourself to feel it, because we're human, and that aids the recovery process. Number two was speaking about what I went through and being open about it on social media and to friends. By me speaking about it, it became reality and it became real. Because I'm not being funny. When you've lost your mum and your daughter and you've gone through all of this, it doesn't feel real. It feels like a dream.
And you don't want it. You don't want it to feel real.
You don't want it.
Don't want it, man.
So me speaking about it enabled me to actually feel it and relive it. And you know, reliving things, it's a fucking difficult thing to do. We don't want to feel. We feel uncomfortable with pain and change. We don't like that as humans. And that was my starting process. And from then, I just found different things that aided my journey and what worked for me. And all I can say to everybody that's listening is, learn how to be alone and feel your pain and your emotions. Don't run from them. There's a lot more to it, but that was what helped me at the beginning.
Honestly, mate, so inspirational.
I've been talking for days. I'm like,
so you should though. Like, you've lived about 9 lives. You're like a cat. I think, like, listening to your talk, like, and hearing the passion in your voice and like the emotive place it's coming from. Like, I always say, like, you have to feel your feels, and that is a much more, like, sort of childish way of saying what you said so eloquently. It's like pain is your body's way of telling you something's wrong, so you instantly you don't want to do it again, you don't want to recreate it, you know what I mean? But when you have emotional pain and like mental hurt, like you can numb it through whether it's your alcohol, whether it's like running away from it and all the rest of it. And as human beings, I don't think we embrace it because we don't want to, because it's hard. But the minute you do,
no, 100%, and this is why I advocate.
You start to recover.
Yeah, this is why I speak openly. When I do feel upset, I let people know that I feel upset. I don't. It's not an easy journey. No one has an easy journey, and this is what life's about. It's about embracing the good and the bad, and taking it on your chin, and learning how to deal through it. And as you said, how you react to these things that get thrown your way. And yeah, I just think it's such a personal journey, and nothing's easy in life, but. When you crack the code of finding that contentment and that happiness stemming from inside your soul, that's when everything else just kind of flows for you. Because honestly, we could talk about external things. Like I used to love shopping to distract my mind, yeah. Going for a drink, going out to eat food. I hated being alone. I freaking hated it. And this is why I spoke about childhood trauma on my last column. I spoke about me growing up as a kid. My mum was always in and out of hospital with cancer, and I used to be on my own a lot. And that led me into being an adult and tying myself to any relationship, whether it was with a toxic guy, you know, and allowing myself to be in a volatile space. And that was in fear of being alone. And I never fixed that childhood trauma. So when I meditate and have therapy, you go back to the roots of where it all began, and that's when you can start healing and fixing these problems.
So enlightening, mate. Like, it's so lovely to hear you.
I feel like bloody Oprah.
No, mate, honestly, and you are what's lovely about you, after everything you've been through, you still manage to turn negatives into positives. You still learn from it, and you provide other people with hope. Like, even look at what good you use your platform for. Like, you are an ambassador for a number of charities, aren't you? Including like mental health ones and Sands and Refuge, is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously this is part of your, I suppose, your journey, your therapy as well, making yourself feel better.
Yeah, definitely. I used to get really stuck with what my purpose in life was, Vicky. And when I was younger, I wanted the limelight. I wanted to be on reality TV. And then when I got it, I still felt empty inside. And no word of a joke, with what I do now, with expanding my platform, speaking about topics that I'm passionate about and helping other people, I fully feel that this is my purpose and this is what I was made for. Yeah. And it's not only therapy for myself, but knowing I'm helping people is so cheesy.
I'm adding
a bit of light into all this darkness. Yeah. I'm inputting my light and my personal experiences. And I think that's what we need. We need more of that.
We do. We need more Marlon Andersons. That's literally it. We need more. Can we clone you, please?
No, there's only one.
She's an original, guys. But no, I think it's incredible that even some of the darkest moments of your life, losing your baby, losing your mum, mate, you still find the time and the energy to turn them into helping other people deal with their loss and their journeys.
But it's just a quick one. You know, when you're helping the elderly with their food, how much contentment did you get? Yeah. And how satisfying was that deep within your heart? How good did that make you feel compared to just, you know, doing the typical promo that we do on Instagram? How beautiful is it knowing that you've helped someone? It's like this feeling that you can't even describe. It just makes you feel so happy. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I would say you glow differently when you're really happy. You glow differently. Like, if you've, say for example, like, look at the way we used to live, Malin. Like, say you've had a good week, so you've had a good night out with the lasses, or like you've just bought a new outfit and you've kissed a fit lad. Like, yeah, I used to think that was happiness. But like, I look at how I find happiness now, and it's helping others. It's putting out a post that encourages a rich dialogue on Instagram. It's smiling at people in the street. It's being a good person. It's helping others. That's when, like, that's how I get happy now. That's how I get off now. And it just shows, definitely, like, how much I've grown, how much I've changed. But I do actually, like, I am really proud of the direction we're going. Are you not? Like, I'm loving this new vibe.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that with our strong influencing and our platforms, hopefully other people will pick up on it and do it too. And then social media and, you know, this industry will be a much nicer place to be in. And That one play, I always said, be a leader. Always be a leader, not a follower. Too many sheep around.
That's it. We are lions, girl.
We are.
Madeline, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. But before I let you go, which it kills us to let you go, but I'm going to have to. This is, of course, called Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. That's me podcast. And every week I have my lovely guest tell my listeners their secret to something. And I was thinking before we started with my producer, and I was like, what can Madeline's secret be? Like, she can talk the back legs off a donkey about anything. She could have a secret to absolutely anything, this girl. But listening to your chat now, mate, and hearing everything you've gone through and knowing that you're doing it all with not only a smile on your face but time for everybody else, I think it's a proper no-brainer. I want to know what your secret to bouncing back is, mate.
My secret to bouncing back is gratitude. Being grateful for everything that we do have. Every morning I'll write down 10 things that I have in my life, whether it's the tree that's outside my house because it's a beautiful view, whether it's my friends around me, whether it's the plate that I'm eating off of. Gratitude allows you to focus on the present moment and what you have in your life. And it takes you out of that victim mentality of what you've suffered and the pain that you've been through. And it allows you to breathe and to focus on things positively. And it instantly gives you that boost that you need for the day. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, grateful to be alive, grateful to be here, instead of thinking, oh, why have I done that? Why have I lost this? Don't have that money. I want to buy that. Turn it around and focus on the opposite. And I think that is a start to pure happiness.
Oh, mate. So profound. Yes, girl. Yes.
Call me Gandhi.
Oh, honestly. Malin, like, thank you so much for taking time out your day, because I know you're busy. I've loved talking to you. I'm sure everybody listening has had an amazing takeaway. That was Malin Anderson with her secret to bouncing back, everybody. I feel like a radio DJ there. Did you think I sounded like one? Don't be damn it, you're the best. And listen, just from me to you, you know I think this anyway, but you deserve every happiness, darling.
Oh, thank you.
Have a great day, mate, and an even better week.
You too, chick.
Bye. Oh, guys, thank you so much for listening this week. What an episode. I love her so much. Oh God, I'm fangirling too hard. Well, if you did enjoy this week, or you've enjoyed any of the Vicky Patterson series, then please leave a review, subscribe, tell all your mates, do all of the podcasty things. Recently we have added an email so you guys can give us your feedback, because I like to know if you're enjoying it. I like to know if you think we could improve. I mean, every day is a school day after all. So if you do have any compliments or constructive criticisms, can't take the good with the bad, then please send them to Vicky Patterson's podcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.